Good. Would you stand with us, please? If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Deuteronomy. We made it out of Numbers. We'll try to get through this before Jesus gets here, all right? Deuteronomy chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 1 through 8 together there this morning. It says, "These are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel across the Jordan in the wilderness, in the Arabah opposite Zuph, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. It's 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. In the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had commanded him to give them. After he had defeated Zion, the king of the Amorites, who lived in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, who lived in Ashtaroth and Edrei. Across the Jordan in the land of Moab, Moses undertook to expound this law, saying, 'The Lord our God spoke to us at Horeb, saying, You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Turn and set your journey and go to the hill country of the Amorites and to all their neighbors in the Arabah, in the hill country and in the lowland and in the Negev, and by the seacoast, the land of the Canaanites and Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have placed the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them and their descendants after them.'" I want to talk to you for a little while this morning, something I've entitled "The Long Way Home." Would you bow your heads, please, and let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now to thank you for your great love, for your goodness and your care and your protection over our lives. Father, we come to thank you for the Son that you sent to be the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Father, we thank you this morning for the Holy Spirit that you sent to be the power inside of us to cause us to be born again, to enable us to be men and women, mighty men and women of God, to be more than conquerors through you that loves us. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. You sent it to heal us. And Lord, just as surely you said, as the snow falls down from heaven and waters the seed, and it brings forth, you sent your word, Lord God, to touch us, to heal us, and to accomplish the things you sent it to do in our lives. It cannot fail. Those that build their house on the solid rock of your word, Father, Lord, will stand when all else has fallen, when everything in this creation has been shaken and fallen apart, Lord God. Those things that are in you, your children, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and cannot be shaken. And for that, we give you praise and glory and honor today. Father, we thank you for the word of the Spirit spoken to us this morning, that you, Jesus, stand at the door and knock of the heart of our lives. That God, if we will open that door and invite you in to our hearts and to our lives, that God, you will be the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You'll be the one that can give us light and wisdom and direction and grace. You will help us throughout this journey, Father, that God, we will walk with you and you with us. Lord, we thank you that as we walk in you, we behold, as David did, the Lord always at his right hand. Oh, you are an awesome God. You are powerful. You are almighty. You are omnipotent. But God, you are also a God of love and mercy and grace and truth. And for that, we love you with all of our being. Lord, we ask that you would take the word this morning, write it upon the tables of our hearts. Don't let us leave this place the same people we were when we came in, Father. God, by your Spirit and by your word, change us, transform us, renew us, refresh us. Lord, pour out your Spirit and let there be an open heaven above us, that God, we might touch your heart and you would touch ours. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Almost got lost talking to him there for a minute. Forgot you were here. He is wonderful. He is beautiful. He is everything that you need and that I need. Amen? Well, we're looking at the book of Deuteronomy. Or as my one grandmother used to say, Deuteronomy. She said, Kenny, my favorite books of the Bible are Psalms and Deuteronomy. I can't ever read it without. She had about a fourth grade education, but she loved the Lord, loved God's Word. Deuteronomy is the last of five books in the Bible that are known as the Pentateuch. It's a collection known in Jewish tradition as the Torah. These are the five books of Moses. The word Deuteronomy means second law or written law. This was Moses nearing the end of his life, and he reiterates in this book the journey of Israel through the wilderness. They're about to enter the promised land. They're about to come into the inheritance that God has for them after a very, very long and tedious journey. These are the last three sermons that Moses will give to Israel. The first is a recounting of the 40 years of the journey in the wilderness and some of the lessons that they learned. The second is a reminder to Israel that there's only one God and that they are to obey His laws and His teachings, and their ability to be able to possess the land and hold on to it when they get there is predicated on them being able and being willing to listen to what God's Word says to them. And in the third, He actually offers comfort to them. How many of you know when you walk with the Lord for a while, you get a light and an ability to see way down the road? Moses is telling them they need to obey the Word of God, and if they don't, they're going to lose this land. They're not going to be able to hold on to it. And then he gets in this mode where he almost knows they're not going to do it. But he said, I want you to know this, that even if you don't do it and you get to the place to realize that you have blown it before God, if you will call out to God from wherever you are and be willing to repent of your sins and turn back to God, even then God will be able to restore you and redeem you. Amen? That's good preaching from anybody, especially from Moses. The theme of the book as a whole is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There aren't many gods, and there aren't many religions. There is only one God, and Him only shalt thou serve. There aren't 20 different ways to heaven. There aren't 20 different religions that'll get you there. The Lord our God is one God. Him only shalt thou serve. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about taking the long way home. Israel took the long way home. In fact, they had departed from Egypt. They had left Egypt freed from Pharaoh, freed from 430 years of slavery and bondage. God led them out to the Red Sea. He baptized them in the cloud and in the sea. That's what the writers of the New Testament tell us. He didn't just take them there to show off His power. He took them there to baptize them and to cleanse them and to take them through that water so that they could come out on the other side and they can make a short journey into the Promised Land. It would have taken them 11 days. 11 days. It ended up taking them 40 years. In fact, the adults that came out of Egypt, with the exception of just a few, never even made it into the Promised Land. We need to take note of that. As few, Jude says, as few as two, Joshua, Caleb, made it in out of that original group. When God had to destroy the world in the days of Noah, as few as 8 souls were saved. Jesus said, "Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it." And then he gives us some examples of just how few that is. I say that to encourage you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Don't think for a second you're somehow going to lollygag around through life and just somehow accidentally end up in eternity in the kingdom of heaven. If you see the kingdom, go sell everything you have and come get it. If you even get a glimpse of the kingdom, be willing to forsake father, mother, houses, lands, and anything else you have to, and go after it. If you even get a glimpse of it, if the light even comes on for a second, walk toward the light and keep walking toward the light. Put your hand to the plow and do not look back and do not turn back. How you doing living for Jesus? Are you living with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, loving Him and keeping His word and His commandments? Or are you just fooling around still? I hope you won't be by the time we get done today. I've been preaching for years. They could have done that journey in 11 days, but it took them 40 years. When I first heard that, I'd heard other preachers say it. When I first heard that, I thought, I better check that out. And I got into some commentaries, and I found out that the commentaries agreed with what they were saying. But how many of you know you can't just listen to preachers and you just can't read commentaries? When you're going to live your life for God, you got to find out what it says in the Word of God. There is nothing that any man in a seminary, there is nothing that any preacher can teach you or tell you that you cannot find out for yourself in the Word of God, if it is in fact the Word of God and it is truth. And you need to test and try everything that you see and everything that you hear, and you need to test it and try it, not by the way it makes you feel. There's a lot of things that'll give you the warm fuzzies that are not God at all. Amen? And I'll tell you this, there's a lot of things about walking in God that won't give you the warm fuzzies either. Amen? It's not all fun and games and singing songs and happy days and here we are again. No, but you need, when somebody teaches you anything, you need to go to the Scripture and you say, "Now God, if you showed it to that person, you can show that to me. And I need to know that it's truth." And the Bible said that you have an anointing of the Holy One that's inside of you. And that Holy One is your teacher and your guide. Do you need men and women to teach you? Yeah, God gave you those too, some pastors, some teachers. But He said even those pastors and teachers can't teach you unless you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit in your heart and life. Some preachers will lie to you. Some people lie to you. Some commentaries will lie to you. Some versions of the Bible will lie to you. But you need to seek the face of the Lord. Said all that to say this. If you read verse 2 that I opened up with this morning, it says it's 11 days journey from Horeb, by the way of Mount Seir, to Kadesh Barnea. It's right in there. God says it was an 11 days journey from where they started to where they were going. In the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had commanded him to give them. See, it's right there in the good old B-I-B-L-E, but you won't know that unless you read it. It's there. God is telling us it's there. I have a saying, and I want to share this with you. It's okay to use commentaries and to read their notes and what they're saying to you, but never forget this. Much can be learned from commentaries on the Bible, but the Bible sheds great light on commentaries. Commentaries aren't always right. And just because you can go to a commentary and some man will back up something that you want to believe doesn't mean that it's biblical. That's why you need to do what Pastor Henry has come to teach us all. Read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. How you doing with that? How you doing with that? you got more time with Facebook, more time with television, more time with your sports, your hobbies, and all the other things, and you don't have time to read the Bible, guess what? You're not in the straight and narrow way. Jesus said, seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and everything else in life will be added to you. The only thing you really have time to do is seek the face of God. Everything else will be added to you and your life if you do that. Always make sure that what you learn from commentaries is backed up by the Bible. You know why it took the Israelites 40 years to make an 11-day journey? Because they would not listen to God. They would not listen to God. Proverbs 13:15 says, good understanding gives favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. I hear people say this all the time. I say, man, really living for Jesus and serving him, it's so hard. It's not easy. It's not for the faint of heart. It's not for the wimps and the sissies. The world thinks it is, but it's not. They can't do it. That's why they can't do it if they're still a part of the world. It's not easy, but I can tell you this. It's easier to live for God than it is to not live for God. The way of the transgressor is hard. Every time you disobey God, it has a consequence. The Bible says because the reward and penalty for sin isn't always immediate, we think we get away with it, but you don't. Sooner or later, as my mama, sitting here looking at me today, used to say to me as a teenager all the time, she said, if you play, you got to pay. If you play, you got to pay. And I knew what she meant by that. And there was a lot of times when I played, and then I paid, and then I'd run back and cry to mama, and I'm glad she'd say, you know the other thing she used to say to me? She said, you're going to run with the wolves, you're going to have to learn to howl at the moon. I remember a lot of things my mama taught me. Now, that isn't scripture, but I can give you a lot of scripture to back up that those things are true. You're going to reap what you sow in life. And sooner or later, you're going to find out that God's way is the best way. The Apostle Paul went to seminary. He sat at the feet of the greatest teachers in his day. He learned the word of God. He took it in his heart. He went out, got filled with the devil rather than with God, and used the word of God to kill and destroy God's people. When the first martyr of the Christian church died, Paul was standing there holding the robes of the people that were stoning him like they were rock stars. Like, man, you know, give me your autograph, sign your album, man. This is awesome. But he ran into God one day. The Bible said, and Paul fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, which was his name beforehand, why are you persecuting me? The Lord must have spoke awful loudly, because Paul said, who art thou, Lord? He was asking the question he already had the answer for. He knew who he was talking to. And the Lord said, I'm Jesus whom you persecute. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And what he was talking about, that word pricks actually was describing an ox goad. It was a pole that had a point on it that if you had an ox cart, you're riding in the cart and you want that ox to go, you jab it with that pole. He said, Paul, it's getting awful hard for you to keep kicking against that, to keep getting jabbed every time you turn around by a stick that's in the hand of God. Don't raise your hand. You ever feel like that? I told you not to raise your hand, and what do? You talk. See, God was saying to Paul, Paul, the way of the transgressor is hard, buddy. You can't keep kicking against the jabbing that I'm doing in your life. Proverbs 14:16 said, a wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. Let me read it to you again. A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil. They don't play with it. They don't entertain it. They don't take it on their tongue and wallow it around and taste it. They flee from it. They turn away from it. But a fool, and the Bible describes a fool as this. You know what a fool is according to Scripture? Somebody that knows the Word of God but won't keep it. I mean, you can go through the book of Proverbs, one of my favorite books. You can go through there and God describes the way of the wise and the way of the fool. The wise hear the Word of God, and in an honest and good heart, they keep it. The fool hears it, but won't pay any attention to it. Just keeps on going on and just keeps on running into the wall. Proverbs 22:3 says, the prudent man sees the evil and hides himself, but the naive go on and are punished for it. I hope this is not you, but I think of this scripture when I'm on the interstate highway. You're supposed to watch what's in front of you and what's behind you and what's around you. You ever see these fools when you're running down a highway and everybody's doing 70 miles an hour if you're fortunate and they're obeying the speed limit? And you can do 70 miles an hour. We built interstates, and now if you don't know the back roads, you can't get anywhere. But I'll watch them. We'll be running down the road 70 miles an hour, and you know, in a quarter mile up the road, something will stop or something will happen. And most people start braking, and they start slowing down, they start stopping. Then there's them other fools. 6 inches from whatever's out there, you see the brake lights come on. I'm thinking, really? You're that dense? It took you all that time from back here up to there to figure out there's something in my way. Yeah, amen, brother. He drives up and down D.C. all the time. He knows what I'm talking about, some of you. I mean, I see stuff like that, and I think, it's a wonder there ain't more deaths than there are. Why? Because people just go on and go on and go on. And then you watch people's lives. I'm sorry, people, but some people are dumber than a rock. You're dumber than the Israelites. You just keep going around the same circle. A wall. God says, go this way. Around the circle you go again. A wall. Around you go again. And I think, man, sometimes I like to just watch them fall off the wall. I think, how many times are you going to go around this circle before you figure it out? And fools won't listen. You can say, you know what? I see you into that wall all the time. I've seen it. I've watched it. I've got the answer for it. I don't have time for that. But Pastor Ken, I appreciate it. But and that's what fools do. And see, you go on and you're punished. Moses was giving them the laws and the teachings of God again to remind them that in the end, if you don't obey the laws of God, you don't break them, they break you. I love it when somebody tells me they're an atheist. I think, fool, stupid. You just declared your ignorance to the whole world, is what you've done. You think because you can put your little pinky in front of your eye and block out the sun, that the sun's not there. People think because they don't accept religion and they don't go to church and they don't want nothing to do with the Bible, that they still don't have to deal with God. That's ridiculous. He's the God of the universe. He's the God of the universe. People have asked me down through the years, they said, why did you get saved? I said, I got two reasons. First one was I found out I was on my way to hell. Like, the end is not good, Ken. Oh, I think I'll just waddle on. No. If the end is bad, it's time to turn around. And the second thing was this. How can you expect anything in your life to be good were to go right, if you're not in right relationship with the creator of it all. Well, I'll just skip church and see how successful I can be at something else. Well, go at it. It's hard to kick against the pricks. Hopefully, after you bounce off that wall enough times, you'll finally straighten up. Hopefully. Most don't, but a few do. Hopefully, you'll straighten up and say, you know what, God? I really do need to do this your way. I need to listen to what you're saying to me. Maybe if I just did what you told me to do. Again, don't raise your hands. And don't talk out. Don't tell on yourself. But how many of us have watched our own children do things and think, man, you don't have to live like this. You don't have to suffer through this. If you would just listen even a little bit to what I'm telling you. But on they go. You know, if you've been a long time fool raising, don't expect them to turn around all at once now. That's why we're supposed to, as parents, teach them first to obey our word and then teach them that they need to obey God's word through that. Make disciples out of them, not babies. It's all right while they're babies, but not adult babies. A lot of them around. Romans 14:11 says this, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall give praise to God. Everyone. I tell people all the time, I said, you can either figure out you need to start serving God now and bow yourself to Him and submit yourself to His will, or you're going to do it in the end anyway. It's going to be too late. You know, there's going to be atheists with their knee bowed before the Lord of glory. And Dr. Phil's going to be there going, how's that working out for you now? I hope he's there. But every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. Hitler is going to confess the name of Jesus Christ. Saddam Hussein is going to confess the name of Jesus Christ. Anton LaVey is going to confess. If you don't know who that is, I'm glad you don't know who it is. You don't need to find out now. Every human being is going to bow the knee. And you know what they're going to say? They're going to say, you are Lord and King and righteous and just and holy. Even as their multitudes are cast into hell, they're going to say, you know what? He is fair. He is righteous. He is just. I had every opportunity. I had every chance. I knew better than this, but I went on like a fool anyhow. They're going to bow. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that's not just a one-time, get your ticket punched, I'm going my way to heaven prayer. Jesus said, Philip, and Philip's question was, how do we get to heaven? How do we see the Father? He said, Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. In a way, you know. And the path, you know. You know what he was saying? You need to follow in my footsteps. You need to be a disciple and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask the worship team to come to the platform this morning. I got to finish my intro. I'll preach a sermon next week, so you got to come back. I'm out of time. But you may be out of time if Jesus is not Lord and Savior of your life. Is Jesus Lord? That word Lord is an old English word that means leader and master. And when you understand the context of it, what it means is He is the master, He is the leader, I am the servant. Wherever He asks me to go, I will go. Whatever He asks me to do, I will do. He is Savior and leader and Lord of my life. The Holy Spirit has spoken through our brother this morning and said, I am Jesus. I, Jesus, am standing at the door and knocking at the door of your heart. I need to come in. And I want to give you opportunity as we worship in the presence of the Lord right now. I want to give you opportunity if Jesus is not your Savior and Lord. If you profess Him as Savior and Lord, but in your life and actions deny Him, I want to give you opportunity to get it right this morning. If not, I assure you, you're on a long journey, a hard journey. And you are taking the long way home that may not end up at home at all. I want to give you an opportunity this morning. In church, I want to give you an opportunity. Let God touch your heart this morning. Let God speak to you. Let God give you direction. Let Him give you light. And say, God, if there's anything in me, any way that I'm walking in that is not your way, the way, the truth, and the life, and Father, I need you to touch me. I need you to heal me right now. And see, every man and woman and boy and girl will be without excuse before God one day because He has sent His Spirit. If you will ask God to save you, He will put His Spirit down inside of you and empower you to do anything that He asks you to do. God never asks the impossible of you. He just simply asks that you come, that you open the door of your heart and your life, and that you walk through that door and that you follow Him. Would you bow your heads with me, please, and let us go.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word today, Lord God. Father, we thank You for the preaching of Your word today, Lord God. Father, we thank You for touching people at this altar today, Lord God. Father, we thank You for all things, Lord God. Father, let us help to remember, Lord, to run after You as the deer panteth for the water, for You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the only way. You are our answer. You are our all in all, Lord God. We love You and we praise You and we glorify Your name. Father, I speak over the people now. Father, make them the head and not the tail. Bless them as they come in and bless them as they go out. Prosper them in all that they do, Lord God. Let there be great signs, wonders, and miracles follow them all the days of their life. Father, I speak divine health over every person in this room, Lord God. Father, remind them this week how much You love them. Bless them this week, Lord, every step of the way. Prosper them, Lord. Let them go in peace. Let them feel Your peace this week, Lord God. In troubled times, Lord, let them feel Your peace beyond all understanding. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless.